Economic Alliance presents the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the coast with the most growth, with your host, Jason Lee and Clint Aiken.
And welcome to the Gulf Coast Growth Show, your show for the
coast with the most growth.
Fantastic. And I'm your host, Jason Lee, and this is my co-host,
Clint Aiken.
And we are here with Mike Schulte from our sponsor, McCarthy Builders. And that, I couldn't be more excited to have those guys on today, or Mike on today, to talk a little bit about what they're doing. And but as most of you know, our show is really centered around what's happening across the region. And I think McCarthy is a great illustration of some of the exponential growth and opportunities and things that are taking place right here in our backyard. And so I had a chance to spend some time on the phone with Mike quite a bit, talking about his transition out to this area. He's new to Houston. Welcome, Houston.
Appreciate it.
And during that time, you could just hear the enthusiasm coming from his voice about this opportunity and what it meant. So I thought, man, it'd be great to have you on the show. So not only do we get a double whammy, we got the sponsor and a guy who's on fire for industry. And so it's excited to have you here. So with that, Mike, why don't you tell everybody on the show really a little bit about your history, who you are, what makes you tick, and what brought you to this position out here in McCarthy, and then tell us a little bit about McCarthy.
Yeah, so I lead the industrial and marine section for McCarthy's business here in Houston. My background's really in the financial side of the business. I led the financial side of McCarthy for the last 5 years. Before that, I was with a manufacturing firm for about 10 years. And so we, any roles there from a financial standpoint all the way through operations, R&D. Spent a lot of time, as we talked a little bit about, on the M&A side. So, the role here in Houston's really around leading the entire marine industrial group, trying to grow that business. We've historically been a mid-size player in the space, and we're really trying to invest in the market, trying to really get us rolling.
Right.
So for McCarthy overall, I mean, we're a fairly large firm. We have about 2,000 employees, salaried employees across the U.S. Here in Houston, Mark, we've got two offices. We've got a Buffalo Speedway office. We have a brand new office over in Channelview. We opened in February. In that space, we got about 250 people here locally, salaried folks. We got probably closer to 400 or 500 if we include our craft workforce.
That's awesome.
So it's a decent sized business. We're really trying to invest in the space. My group specifically, we got about 100, a little north of 100 today, working out of the Channelview office.
Wow, that's exciting. So every time I hear growth, every time I hear right in our backyard, I get excited. And we're excited for McCarthy and them making an investment in our region.
It's one of the reasons we do the show. Let people know about all the good growth that's going on here. So
absolutely. So now with the good growth, talk to us a little bit about when we were on the phone, you really shared some really great things about what you were seeing, why you were here, even some of the examples of McCarthy's expansion and how that's a direct reflection of what's happening. So you've been in the finance game for a long time.
Yeah.
You have to stay abreast of these situations. Tell our audience what makes us such a unique place right now, and what makes this such a unique time for expansion and for growth.
Well, there's so much happening in the Texas market specifically, but if you talk about Houston all the way down to Corpus, what's going on? I mean, if you talk specifically for the Houston space, you got all the flood control work that's coming. So again, we're a construction firm, right? So all the flood control work that's coming, some of the specialty stuff on the commercial side, and then you got our space, which is on this industrial front. If you look at the Houston space specifically, it's just very impressive the growth that you're going to see. I think if you talk about the Houston Ship Channel specifically, you're going to see a lot more maintenance work for companies like us. And then if you talk about really where the capital projects, which is really our focus, is going to be, you're going to be talking about Golden Pass, you're going to be talking about down to Freeport all the way over to Corpus. The amount of projects out there are significant. I was at an event a couple weeks ago, and they started talking about north of $200 billion of work, of capital projects in the next 10 years.
Wow. North of $200 billion. So we had a guest on one of our shows a while back, and what he described was by 2021, 2025, over $70 billion being deployed into capital projects. And I think when you hear and you're talking about this, I hear, man, great for McCarthy, but hey, great for the service companies, great for the subs, great for the, I mean, this is really a huge, I guess, windfall that just kind of goes all the way down into, I mean, people like us who come in to service those folks. I mean, how cool is that?
It really is fabulous. I mean, it's really impressive. Like, I expect this really to turn into a lot about people, right? And what I mean by that is how do you actually execute all of this work? I think it's coming. Mm-hmm. There's no question. So you start talking about how do you try to manage that? And I'm talking about from a supply base all the way to the subcontractor, all the way to construction firms like us. And right. And so, I mean, we got 100 people. If you want to really grow in the way we think we could, I mean, we could see significant number of additional opportunities, but we can't get over our skis, right?
So, and as you're bringing on that additional workforce, I know one of the things we were going to talk about is the diversity of that workforce, right? So, yeah. And y'all are doing a lot of initiatives to make sure that it's a diverse workforce.
Well, all the way from a diverse work program to a diverse workforce, right? So,
right.
So if you talk about our work program, I mean, we did the Museum of Fine Arts here in Houston. We did transportation work with Metro. We've done 16 projects with the Port of Houston over the last 5 years or so. So you got that from a diverse work program for our business. But then, you start talking about how do you really improve? And in my opinion, you got two things. One is you got to clearly have the right people, but then you have to have a different opinion. How do you have somebody else that has a different view of a business than you do? Because we can all think we're the smartest guy in the room every day.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is somebody else's opinion and question is going to make you think in a different route. And in my opinion, trying to get that diversity, and that's in all essence of from folks that have different backgrounds all the way to where did they come from a sector standpoint. So, I mean, one of the pieces on the construction side is we typically say, okay, here's how you build up. You start as, you know, on a project and you roll all the way through, and you have to sit maybe this operation specific route. And what we're trying to do a little bit for us is, hey, how do we throw some different expertise in the mix? See, you think about somebody like myself with a financial background trying to lead a construction firm. I mean, it's really trying to think differently.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I think thinking differently in today's environment is almost a requirement, right? I mean, because it's evolving. The rules of engagement are regularly changing. It becomes more and more diverse. But at the same time, you're going to be faced with having to push yourself and challenge yourself with something that's not just, you know, product, material, all those things, they exist out there, but people, that's a pretty challenging commodity. So I think we're going to take a few minutes here and just or take a second to acknowledge you guys for our sponsorship here in a second. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some of the work and things that you guys are doing to help impact that downline of employees that are coming. So we'll go recognize McCarthy here real quick as a break, and then we'll be right back.
McCarthy Building Companies. From the Museum of Fine Arts to terminals on the Ship Channel, we understand the challenges and complexities you face when building here in the Gulf Coast. As the oldest privately held national construction company in the country, we have a clear focus on clients, community, and collaboration.
And we are back.
And we want to definitely thank our sponsor. So appreciate McCarthy sponsoring the show and being a part of the show today.
High five.
It's always good to have them on. So it just makes it a little more fun, right?
Yeah, it does. It's always exciting. I know when we had Carla from and she was on the show, she was cracking me up. So Mike, we're having a great time with you so far. Again, new to the area, which is great because I think it's a fresh perspective, a fresh set of eyes on what's taking place. At the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the transition of not only being a strategist in your role, right? I mean, I think when you shared with us about your experience, your history, having sat in that financial chair, looking out in the front about the finances, there's a certain capital expense or financial expense that's really tough to account for. And that's human capital, right? That's one of the hardest to come by. So perhaps you can help shed light as the operator, as the guy running the ship, per se, right, here across this region, all the way down to Corpus, Freeport. What are you guys doing about that? And what does it feel like to be in your chair as you're trying to address it?
Yeah. To me, I mean, first and foremost, you have to get culture right. right? And what I mean by that is how do you make sure, from my perspective, we're all working for each other every day, and that's not just me working for my team. It's across the board. When my team gets together, it's all about, hey, look at the guy next to you or the gal next to you, and make sure you are supporting them in any way possible. And what really helps us from that standpoint, so we're an employee-owned firm, mm-hmm. Which is really sets the tone of our business. I mean, it really impacts every single individual's bottom line of how do we run our business. So that's the starting point, is about culture. And then you go all the way from there to how do you set up a team? So you start, talking about how do you build a project. The first step, which is probably the most important, clearly you got to win the front end. Right. But the team dynamics, who are you putting on that team? How do they get along together? How are they going to influence each other on a daily basis? So we do a lot of work up front saying, okay, what's this going to look like as a group? Not today, but throughout the process, making mm-hmm. sure folks are working together at the right realm. And then, as I said, they're thinking about each other on a daily basis. So we don't get caught up on individuals or groups going out and doing things together. We think that's an important part of creating a team. And so to me, if you say, how do you execute? How do you get the right people? One, you got the ESOP, employee ownership, and setting up the profile. It's important to every individual all the way through. You know, you want to work with somebody you like.
Right.
And so culture.
Kind of important.
It really is. I mean, it's easy to get caught into you want the smartest folks, but it matters, but it doesn't matter nearly.
I wonder how bad our show would be if we didn't like each other. I don't think that would work out too well, would it?
You're not acting?
Well, yeah, maybe.
I thought this was a show. No, very fortunate to have you as a friend. But let me ask you this, Mike. So let's talk about pipeline of people. Tell me about the pipeline. So I know that a lot of our guests have shared concerns or really the number one driving force of how are we impacting that. I know it's probably talked about in your circle there at the company. Is what do we do about this next crop of people to fill these jobs, and tell us a little bit about what, as an operator, we've had a lot of folks on the workforce development side, meaning these organizations that support that. Yeah. I want to hear from the guy that's needs the bodies, right? What do you guys in your chair go and do to try to impact that next line to fill those gaps?
Yeah, there's a few things you have to do. First and foremost, I mean, you got to develop the folks you have. Mm-hmm. Every day that you're talking about, how do you get those people to the right spot? So one of the good parts of McCarthy, so we're in the top five from a training standpoint across the industry, which makes it very strong. We spend a significant amount of money on training. We have our teams put together quite a bit of programs to make sure that we're developing that staff. The next phase of that is really when you're talking about the leaders either on the job or individuals that are even at that mid-level, you say, in order to be promoted, you have to bring somebody with you. Right. It's an absolute requirement. So the expectation is for you to be developing somebody next. And so there's a piece of it that's a corporate training program, and then there's another piece that says, hey, expectation for us really is bring somebody along.
Right.
And that has been that philosophical change for us has been critical. So to me, the first phase is develop your own first, and then the other part is, yeah, how do you get the group in the community? How do you find the right staff? How do you make sure that you're getting the right people from a recruiting standpoint coming to your business? And that goes right back to our previous conversation. You want a culture that's really magnetic. Mm-hmm. Right? You want people to come work for you and want to come work for you. If I rely every day on a recruiter to find folks for me, I'm going to fail.
Right.
I need people raising their hands saying, McCarthy's a great place to work. I've heard that all over the place. Hey, Mike, I want to come work for you.
There you go.
And so that culture is just, I mean, it goes back a lot from the people side and then, again, developing from within.
I think that's culture transcends all types of industry. I grew up inside of a different type of company, but the culture was what made it tick. And when the culture changed is when I saw things go south. It's when I saw things changing, when I saw what we believed in. And so I think for the audience that's listening, if they're an owner-operator, really you're sharing some best practices of a company that's really having some success and really expanding well and doing great stuff. So I'd be taking the notes, right, that just says you just gave some folks a couple little cheat sheets. Because it's easy to get wrapped up in our process of finding more talent to forget about the talent that we have. So that was a great takeaway, which is what's the first place on workforce development? Love your people.
Yeah.
Get them taken care of. So, Clint, what about you?
I'm really grateful that you're putting so much emphasis on training. I mean, a lot of companies, you know, they want you to already have the skills when they bring you in. And as much as we want to strive to have those skills, they're just not always there. And you can't develop it unless you do the OTJ, right? The on-the-job training.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's awesome that y'all are giving them those opportunities to learn some of those skills while they're on the job, and that you've tasked people specifically with getting them trained up. So I kind of want to shift gears a little bit and
some of the piece of this is on the salary side.
Right.
And then if you start talking about the craft side, I mean, we're going to put over $1.6 million into specifically craft training, really here in this market.
Oh, wow.
Per year. I mean, that is so there's a piece of it, rely on the industry, rely on that. But I mean, we are making a
serious. You say $1.6 million into craft training?
The craft training.
Wow.
So we have
phenomenal.
Significant number of folks that are specifically trying to help our individuals stay safe and get the skill set they need. Because you got, I mean, again, you can hire people for jobs, but can you get them to the next level?
Right.
It's just so important. So, and that is not just on the salary side and trying to get somebody to be a great leader. It's really, hey, how do you make sure when somebody steps onto a job site, they're safe?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is good. So, but I do want to shift gears. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know McCarthy does a lot of charitable things. So I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the charitable organizations that y'all are involved with?
Yeah. So, I mean, we do, I'll say across the country, we do a significant amount for charities. If you talk nationally, American Heart Association is absolutely something we talk a lot about in our business. If you talk locally, the Houston Rodeo is very, very important for us. We actually donated a significant amount this year to the Houston Rodeo, clear sponsor of that event. That's important for us. And then you really try to figure out what's the connection. And for us, it's usually about children, and try to make sure anything that you're doing is either from the it's going to impact the community from how do you get either from a health standpoint or get somebody a scholarship as the Houston Rodeo does.
Right. Yeah, when you said charity, for a lot of folks who don't know, right, when they hear the rodeo, but so many kids are given opportunities coming out of that. I know in Pasadena, their art, it's Rayburn High School. They have I guess the last 2 to 3 years, they've had their art program deliver the top student art, you know, exhibit or prize, and one of their students this year, his artwork sold for $200,000+.
Wow.
Right, which is going back to scholarship funds to help support and stuff. So to me, that's just amazing, some of the work that's happened at the rodeo. It's really cool. Really cool to see you get involved with that part of it. So, and then you guys have a casino night coming up?
Yep, the 25th, September 25th. It'll help Methodist. We just recently had a Make-A-Wish Foundation event that we did locally as well. So try and get – so we have a group called Heart Hats is what we call it.
Okay.
And the focus is to give each person in our team a day off per year where they can specifically work in the community to try and help out. So that hard hat's
great. Oh, wow.
So there's one piece of this that's really about to these organizations, and there's another piece, just try to give back. Go either build something, go try and help out, use your skill set that you're, you know, something that you're good at.
Yeah.
Go put it to use and let's help somebody locally.
I feel so bad when I have all these industrial guys come on and they talk about their skill sets to give back to their community. It took me an hour to relight my hot water heater last night. It's like, how do I not blow myself up? So, yeah, I think I was trying to be a hero during Harvey, and then they just kept being like, hey, man, why don't you just go fill up the water cooler? I'm like, I got it. Yeah, I'm on it. So,
chasing the water boy.
I was a water boy. I've been a whole water boy my whole life. Mike, did you need more water? I'm just kidding.
Cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've had some success. I know in our previous conversations, we didn't dive into it a lot, but you've really had an expansive track record, multiple markets, doing a lot of experience. What have been some of the things that really led to your you know, your success? What do you think has really helped contribute to that?
Well, I do think that a wide array of experience is really important. What I mean by that, so I mean, as I said earlier, I started in the manufacturing realm, working in the financial side, worked on the operations side for some time in that business, also worked in R&D, worked in marketing, worked again in a financial outfit there. So for me, you got a wide array of experience seeing different things. I spent about 5 years or so in the M&A world, traveling the globe. And so seeing companies from the front end and how, as I said to you, how does the financials impact their performance? How can you really predict it? And what are the levers that you can play have been just, for me, really helpful to understand what, when you sit in a role like this, well, what are the levers I should be playing with?
Right, right. Wow. Clint, anything else?
Yeah, so you know, we like to drill down a little bit further too. So what makes you tick? I mean, are there books that you read? Is there mentors that you tap into? I mean, what are kind of those resources that you get some of that wide array from?
So I would say, so yes, I do love to read. I'd say psychology books are probably some of my favorite, which is, I wouldn't call it my forte. But just seeing how people's minds work. So one of, I mean, for me, it's really understanding the other side of the table in most circumstances. I don't think you can really influence somebody unless you understand how they're thinking and what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my reading sits in that area, cool. Which is a ton of fun.
Yeah, well, sounds like you place a lot of emphasis on people, right? And so, which is a great tonality as we start to transition, because what I hear a lot of is the impact of people, the growth of your company, but that it's driven through people, that you have to train and develop your people, yeah. And that you even have leaders who are reading books about how they can communicate to people and help understand the people that are working within and around them to help lift them up and perform better. And I think that's going to be a direct indicator of your financial performance. I think that's always going to
especially with the millennial workforce coming on. I mean, I actually read got a hold of a millennial Gouge report. And from Gallup, and it was really interesting because one of the things they're talking about is how our generation growing up, we had annual reviews, right? Once a year you had a review, and that's where you got the indication of where you were with your company and if you're going to get a raise or not. Millennials are really different in the fact that they want an ongoing conversation, right? So learning the psychology and learning about that kind of stuff, it's clearly what's setting you apart as a leader.
Yeah, but they prefer to do it by text.
And emojis.
Yeah.
If thumbs up emoji.
If you just send them like 5 angry faces, 4 stars, 3, you know, question marks, that's code for, you know, you're going to get a pay increase.
Sure.
Right?
You guys are right. I mean, we talk a lot in our leadership group about kind of process over people, because having the difficult conversation with that group is probably one of the toughest things you have to do. Right. I mean, sometimes they do make mistakes.
Right.
But you have to, in my opinion, you have to start with where as leaders did we fail from a process standpoint?
Right.
And then if there's a people problem, then we got to fix that on the backside.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. It's tough to influence that group.
Well, Mike, outside of that, is there anything else that you want to highlight today? Anything specific that comes to mind that we didn't capture?
Well, again, I think from McCarthy's standpoint, I mean, there's so much opportunity here locally, and really around employee ownership is so important for us, that culture side. I mean, we talked about it, but what we're trying to do, how we're trying to help the community, it's really important, not only how we're going to build jobs, but how are we really going to help Houston?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, we're thankful to have you. And with that, we always like to kind of wrap up with a little bit of an attitude of gratitude. And so I'll let my co-host, my partner in crime, I'm not acting, he's my friend, tell us a little bit about what are you grateful for?
He admitted it on video.
On video.
So we're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to get out and serve the community. That's something, you know, you were expressing that a lot. And anytime that we're able to give back, I think it's extremely important. So, you know, anytime that I'm able to give back and pour into others, I'm just grateful to be able to do that. It's kind of nice to know that people want you to pour back into them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that we're able to meet those needs, I love being able to give back. I mean, it's kind of a cool thing to do.
Cool. I'm thankful for my wife. My wife, she travels a lot, and we're both very busy, but I'm just humble and grateful to have somebody who can accept and deal with my pace, and so I'm thankful for that. So,
Yeah, I'm going to use two of them here. But first and foremost, I mean, my team. I mean, what having coming in as a financial leader, the background I have is definitely unorthodox, and they have been phenomenal, phenomenal. I mean, it's an unbelievable group of folks that are over there in Channelview. It's really impressive. The other part is just my family, man. I travel a ton. I'm on the road a ton. I do breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day with somebody.
Right.
So, yeah, they have sacrificed a lot, and I'm absolutely grateful for that.
Oh, and I'm sure they're grateful for you, too. So, yeah, what a blessing. So with that, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. As always, you can tune into to the Economic Alliance website. You can address them directly if you have any feedback. If you want to reach out to any of our guests, you want to contact Mike, you're welcome to reach out to us as well. We can put you in contact with him and McCarthy Builders. Again, we're thankful for your sponsorship, thankful to have you on the show. And as always, you can reach out, give us feedback, guest suggestions, any ideas that you have. Reach out to Clint or myself via LinkedIn, and we look forward to seeing you out there. Thanks. Have a good day.